Welcome to What's Ailing the World, the ultimate in reality radio with info that can save your life. On the show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life and administer biological weapons, nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structure, where police and the judicial system protect the criminals and persecute the innocent, where governments have begun terrorists against their own people, those people that they purport to serve, and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet right in plain sight, who suppress the natural solutions to all these problems that are already available, who are stealing and torturing our children under the guise of child protection. The ability to see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring these predators down. The critical first step for everyone with a conscience is to do your own research, as we have been lied to about everything. The study of language is very revealing. The word lie was put in the middle of the word belief, as when the psychopaths are able to lead the slave work units to believe a lie, it becomes their truth. I strongly recommend that you challenge all of your own beliefs until you know the truth. Do your own research, because, as I said, we have been lied to about everything. It's not easy to face all the lies, as I realize, having become a medical doctor very proudly and then realizing that my entire profession has been corrupted to, instead of doing first, do no harm, as per the Hippocratic Oath, doing the opposite and creating diseases and causing death and destruction and giving toxic drugs, of course, which cure nothing. I suggest you check out my websites, drcarly.com and reversingvaccineinducediseases.com. Click on the vaccine-induced disease page or tab of my reversingvaccineinducediseases.com site. That's where I would start if I was you. Print out the diagrams. The first diagram is the cause of all disease on one piece of paper, and then listen to the interviews and conferences below them where I'm explaining this information. always remember that negotiation and compromise with evil is impossible. It's not just enough to know the truth. People always say, you know, knowing the truth will set you free. No, acting on the truth will set us free. And we have to act. We have to stop these monsters, these psychopaths. We have to just say no. And that is what I'm encouraging all of you to do in your own way, whatever your conscience leads you to do. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites, or you can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them from me. To learn how I do consults, click on the services tab on reversingvaccineinducediseases.com website. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. My toll-free number, available from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean, is 888-321-6751. If you get a strange message that the number has been disconnected or whatever, because that's happening more and more for some strange reason, have the operator dial the number for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but I use Skype primarily for my international clients. And so I encourage you, if you're able to contact me on the toll-free number, because I have hundreds of Skype contacts now, and it's just getting out of control. Always remember, I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice, because the medical mafia has taken away my license to do so. So now, rather than undergo psychiatric treatment as they ordered me to do in 2003, I teach people what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. The archives for these changing in time shows, you'll see at the top of that Dr. Carley Archives page, my archives for Republic Broadcasting are on one side, and These Changing Times is on the other side. All the shows are labeled, so you'll know what the topics are. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 785-336-5190 or Skype the producer of the show. Very important, callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever is speaking. Please wait until the second hour to call in so I have an opportunity to introduce the topic of the week. It's probably the easiest if you go into the chat room, which the board op monitors, and then you can also type in questions or comments there, and she will transfer them to myself and my guests. One of the most important things you can do to protect yourself and your loved ones from the organisms being created by the mad scientists at the over 1,300 biowarfare labs in the U.S. alone is purchase a Silver Lungs colloidal silver generator. Go to the link section of reversingvaccineinducediseases.com to learn how to obtain the silver generator I use personally for myself and all my pets. And if you get your own generator, you will have it for the rest of your life. Your agency that's supposed to protect health and does the opposite will not be able to stop you from getting colloidal silver, which is going to be taken out of, you know, health food stores very soon. I am sure they have already labeled it a pesticide here in the U.S. of A, the land of the free and the home of the slave. Okay, let me just mention that the views and opinions expressed on this show do not represent the views and opinions of the network, These Changing Times. But rather are the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. I have no clue what that noise was. Okay. On today's show, What's Ailing the World? Our answer is going to be The Earth Needs Rebels. My guest is Andrew Peacher, not Preacher with an R, but Peacher, like a peach, and he is a peach. His website is parentsinjustice.co.uk. So I would like to bring Andrew on at this time. He's been on the show before. He's holding a very important conference out of the UK called the Skegness Conference. And if you could just introduce yourself to the listeners, Andrew, give them a little bit of information on, you know, what's going on with this conference, you know, how it's going to go, who the guests are, the purpose of the conference, how people can access it, etc.
Okay, then. Good afternoon, or good morning, I should say, in the US, and good afternoon in the UK. Yeah, I'm Andrew Peacher. The reason I'm trying to get the word out is because CPS Social Services in the UK stole my children without any good reason, undiagnosed vaccine troubles, and then that made me basically want to do things for people. I run a couple of radio shows. They're on the usual regular networks. The website for that one is The Earth Needs Rebels Radio Show, which is dryolasite.com. And as Dr. Carley was just saying, we're doing a conference in Skegness in Lincolnshire, down in England, this Wednesday, Thursday, the 12th and 13th, 9 till 6. And we're going to be talking to, we could say, the godfather that started all this off, Mr. Brian Gerrish, UK Column newspaper down in Devon, in Plymouth. He started telling people there was a problem with, you know, the social services taking the children. So I went to a couple of conferences with him and got a couple of ideas. What I didn't actually realise at the time, there was something majorly wrong about his conferences, and, of course, the world. But the conferences, they never had the professionals there. And I thought, what a good idea. So the Skegness Conference this week will include people such as social workers, people such as foster carers, Yeah, I'm sure there's other names for them too, people. There's going to be parents who've lost their children. There's going to be adults that's had their children removed just because there was sexually abusing in the system in the 70s and 80s. Parents that have been beat up by one or the other partner for domestic violence. Because you're dysfunctional, because you need help, you don't need your children, apparently. So this conference will start off in the morning at 9 a.m. Actually, it's the fun starts in a way at 8:30, because we've been very lucky. We've got there's only two local radio stations around here. One's an independent one called Lynx FM. I can mention them because they're attending, and the BBC in Lincolnshire. Now, very rare will they come to a conference and report such issues. So they're coming along. We've got the local paper, three local papers, one for the county of Lincolnshire. And we've got, to start it all off, Councillor Anderson, our Lord Mayor of Skegness, he's opening the event. He's also our local councillor. And then throughout the day, we're having major parents speak, such as Stella McLeod. We're having Lucy Allen. She made ITV This Morning programme with her story. We have the Brian Garish, Roger Hayes from the British Constitutional Group, a big campaigner called Sam Edwards from One Voice for the Kids. We're having a Member of Parliament speaking through Skype, John Hemming MP, due to the location and his workload during a busy week. We're having Bob Honecker, a USA citizen that's coming all the way from Holland, well, all the way. It's still an hour flight, so we welcome Bob along. And there's Aspartame Damages, as Vaccine Damages author, Christine England. We just have a multiple of different speakers, and the idea was to get everybody together and kind of use each other, not against each other, but kind of a bit of therapy, really. It's a counselling session for the social workers and the state to say, look, this is why we do it. And this is probably, you know, we do it because we've got no choice. We're underpaid. We've been abused by our bosses, by the government. This is why we do it. And from the other side of it, the parents are going to say, look, yeah, but we haven't done anything wrong. You know, this is why we wanted help. And you just took our children, you know, and it's kind of I call it a therapy session for 2 days to get it out in the media.
Hold on. Let me just say a couple things. First of all, I'm going to be participating as well through Skype. I would not call it a therapy session. I would call it a wake-up session. I'm shocked that you've gotten any police officers or foster carers or social workers or anybody to even show their faces at this conference, considering what they have done. And for them to say, oh, this is what we have to do. Our bosses tell us to steal children, put them in homes where they're sexually abused, allow them to be experimented on with psychiatric drugs. That doesn't cut it. Because one of the main reasons that our world is being destroyed is because the psychopaths at the top of the food chain, you know, they're looking for people who will sell their soul for cash. You know, we just had an instance here in the States, a 76-year-old grandmother whose grandson was growing a couple marijuana plants outside. The police came to her house. They broke down her door. They tackled her. She's had two strokes and a knee replacement, and then shot her dog and forced her to watch her dog die slowly, running all over the house, screaming, bleeding everywhere. Okay, these are the kinds of things that are going on. These people are monsters. And I don't care what their excuse is as to why they're doing what they're doing. They are they're psychopaths themselves. By the time they're talked into doing something for cash, that's when they sell their soul. And I can't wait to see their response. I just want to also mention that when you say it starts at 9 a.m., unfortunately, there's 5 hours difference between my time zone and UK. So for me, it'll be 4 a.m. It's actually 4 a.m. Eastern time. Please also tell people how they can watch or listen because it is going to be very interesting to hear what these people have to say for themselves.
Well, obviously, yeah, even if people can't listen, it starts at 4 a.m. Eastern, then 2 a.m. Pacific. It is being broadcast live through a website, which I'll mention in a minute. But, yeah, you are one of the main speakers with Christine England talking about vaccine damages and the state cover-up of that sort of abuse. We've also got a child abuse charity, which we're very, very honoured that they can come along. And it's a national association for people that were abused in care, unquote, care, quote.
Right.
Yeah. So I'll find the website. Sorry, it's just, I've got it all over the place now. Yeah.
And let me just ask, yeah, Andrew, what are they doing for those people? Because, first of all, one of the worst traumas you can inflict on a child is to take it away from its parents, who are good parents, the protector parents, and to put the child with some stranger. That's one of the worst things you can do for a child to begin with. But if those carers, quote unquote, are allowing the children or actually sexually abusing the children themselves, or physically or emotionally abusing them, whatever the case may be, the damage is just, you know, expanded, you know, exponentially. So what is this charity doing to help those individuals? You know,
well, they have a 24-hour hotline, and they personally sort of counsel them. You know, it's not the right answer, because it is funded by the government, and I found out that there's a load of counsellors out there that's non-funded, they're charitable, and the people benefit more than they do when they go to a state-run counselling session.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that this charity, which is obviously not a charity if it's funded by the government, it's a government data collection service, sounds like to me, where people that were stolen from their families by the government and are now being abused by government agencies or agents can now call the government and report what the government is doing. Is that what you're saying?
The person who runs it is purely on the people's side, but the agency as a whole is probably exactly like that, yes.
Right. Which is like the fox sitting there and listening to the chickens say, you know, we're being abused, and the fox says, yeah, I know. We're the ones abusing you. Well, and this is what people have to watch out for. The person who says he's, you know, on the people's side, well, eventually he will, you know, show himself whether he really is or not, because how can he not tell the truth about what's going on? I'm sure they're getting all kinds of calls from people that are being abused, but it's not stopping. As a matter of fact, when you... You've been on the show a few times, as has Sam Edwards, One Voice for the Kids, as has Brian Garish. And one of the things we've discussed on this show is this very important case in the UK, the Holly Greig case. And if you want to check it out, listeners, Greig is spelled G-R-I-E-G. It's all over the internet. This is a young woman with Down syndrome who was abused, sexually assaulted by judges, police officers, all kinds of people, many individuals, including Brian Garish and Roger Hayes, who Andrew mentioned, had tried to bring this case to light because it's going to basically explode the global pedophile groups. And of course, rather than have, you know, this really come to light in a big way, although it is coming to light in a big way, but this guy Roger Hayes was actually put in prison because he tried to, you know, expose this case. So is he out of jail now, Andrew? Is he's going to be one of the...
A little bit of a correction. Roger Hayes was put in jail because a part of his local taxes was to fund wars in Afghanistan. The person who's fighting for Holly Greig, a man called Robert Green, he's been out of jail for a little while on electronic tag, and he says to us he will be passing through the Skegness Conference to thank each and every one of us for supporting him when he was in prison.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did get those two mixed up. And yes, in fact, well, all of the things that these psychopaths are doing, you know, we all have to stand up and say no. But that's, thank you for that correction. And very interesting that he's got an electronic monitor on him. I'm surprised he doesn't have electronic tape over his mouth to keep him quiet.
He's still talking very loud, and they're still worried about him. And I'll talk in a minute about somebody else's state are worried about, but the website you can go to view the live TV radio coverage. Now, this, I'm told, it will be on all the main TV and radio independent media outlets throughout America and Canada. It's thisisvancouveronline.ca. You go to the homepage and you'll find right in the middle an advert saying Skegness Child Protection Conference. We've had to name it the Child Protection and the Future of Our Families Conference to attract the actual professionals. But on Facebook, it's right. Called Child Stealing by the State.
Okay. I want to ask you when you get a chance, Andrew, if you can please type that into the Skype instant message so that our board op, Patty Walking Turtle, can post that in the chat room. That would be fantastic. Yes, and I think it's very, I don't know what word to use, sly of you to do what you're doing, because, of course, you're basically entrapping them to come and hear about their own crimes, and I think that's hilarious.
And that's why I referred to it as counselling for the authorities, because we're going to counsel them as protesters, as parents, that you cannot do this, and you know it's wrong. If you thought it was right what you're doing, you would not be sitting here today. And when obviously, we've got to be very careful how we do it, because we think the fact that they're coming and Brian Garish has agreed is because they want to whistleblow, and we welcome that. So we don't want to alienate people who's whistleblowing. Now, another bizarre story that's came out in the UK recently. We have an association called the British Association of Social Workers, which is a bit like the same in America for CPS workers. Now, this person who was the head of marketing was coming to the event to speak on behalf of the association to say what a difficult job they have, blah blah blah. Yeah. Now, our good friend campaigner David Paul Jenkins, on the help of Brian Garish, we suggested something. Wouldn't it be good to have a website called Social Services? UK Social Services Exposed. .co.uk, so that's UK Social Services Exposed. .co.uk, and the minute it went live, naming and shaming social workers, judges, teachers, anybody that's abused children in the UK and probably America as well, that's in the domain of the internet, we had phone call after phone call after phone call. The Association of Social Workers immediately put out a press statement. The community care organisation for the UK that deals with social workers and care workers, foster carers, they put out a statement saying this is vile because Clever David had the stamp of the Nazis on there, accusing social workers of being Nazis. They threatened him with legal action, but they're still so slow that they haven't done a thing about it. They're scared.
Well, you know, I wouldn't even get into that whole Nazi thing because the whole Nazi thing is a scam to begin with. That's another show. But anyways, I would call them psychopaths because that's what they are. You know, the definition of a psychopath is one without a conscience. And by definition, if someone is willing to take first of all, the scam going on in the U.K., and I so salute investigative journalist Christina England for her work exposing not only are the children in the U.K. being vaccine damaged, but then when the parents go to look for help for those vaccine damaged children, which she did, which you did, which so many other parents are doing, A, they will not admit their vaccine damage, and then to make matters even more evil, they charge the parents with this Munchausen syndrome, which basically means that the parent is making stuff up to get attention, and then they use that as an excuse to take the children away from the parents. So first, they're vaccine damaging them, oftentimes psychiatrically drugging them as well, and then taking them away from their parents who are trying to get help for them. This is pure evil. So this is what has to be focused on, that these people know exactly what they're doing. There's no way they can't know what they're doing. And for them to pretend that they're acting in the welfare of the children is a total scam. And you and Sam Edwards and Brian Garish and others, and if I may say so myself as well here in the States, are doing a lot to show that is the truth. And whether they like the truth or not, see, this is how they operate. You know, if the truth is put right in their face and they have to confront the truth, what else are they going to do? You know, criminals do not admit that they've committed crimes. So they're going to call it a hate crime, or, you know, if some of them are Jewish, they're going to say it's anti-Semitic or whatever excuse they can label it with. But the fact is that this is the truth. This is what's going on. In fact, all over the world, it's not just the UK and the States. It's Canada. It's most quote-unquote developed countries have developed these quote-unquote child protective services, which are actually child trafficking organizations, which procure children for, you know, all kinds of really heinous things, including sex abuse and prostitution and you name it, child pornography. And we're paying taxes for this. And this is what the people have to face, because eventually, even the people that are afraid to face reality, they're not going to have a choice, because their children are being affected as well. Especially by vaccine damage. So when there's enough people, I call it critical mass, the 100th monkey phenomena, there's many names for this, when enough people realize that our governments are being run by psychopaths, that all of the terrible things happening on this planet are being done on purpose, then the psychopaths can be rounded up, put in quarantine. I don't have all the answers, but I do know that there are solutions for everything terrible that's happening on this planet. And it takes action. And I'm so proud of you, Andrew, for what you're doing. You have come so far. You have a radio show on OrionTalkRadio.com as well. That's another station that I'm on, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, called The Earth Needs Rebels. I love that name. And I encourage people to listen, because all of us have to do something. A lot of people aren't going to have the courage to come out publicly on global internet radio or whatever. But you must do something, because if you're silent, you're consenting. So
I mean, it's been very good to actually have a voice, Dr. Carly. It was hard to start with, because you're thinking, will I get attacked by the government? Will I have this and will I have that? In fact, yes, I have been attacked in the form of a policeman. Every time there's an event going on, such as the Olympics or a protest, we have the National Front coming to Skegness very shortly. Of course, I've got nothing to do with that. I don't even understand what the National Front means. And they knock on my door, come on, tell us some information. I think it's basically, if I inform, then I shall get left alone. What happens when I get nasty and don't tell them nothing?
Well, first of all, you see, we're all under assault. Whether or not you're speaking out as well, your children are being killed and maimed with vaccines. The chemtrails being sprayed all over the world are destroying the weather and destroying our lungs and all kinds of things. I mean, there's many things that are already being done to each of us, even if you're doing nothing, even if you're hiding under your bed in your house. Those things are still being done. If you speak out, yeah, you're going to get attacked. And guess what? Once enough people get attacked for telling the truth, the people who are not saying anything are going to say, since when does it become a crime to tell the truth? I mean, they've taken my son. They've taken my medical license. They've tried to kill me three times, twice by poisoning, once by trying to run me off the road. I don't care, because if they kill me, I go on vacation. That's how I look at it. I will not silence myself. I will keep on talking the truth until I breathe my last breath, because I am outraged by what's going on and the fact that so many people know it, but they're too afraid. You see, fear is one of the main ways they control us. There's more of us than there is of them, so stop being afraid. These people don't have a rock to hide under. And once enough of us know who they are, because they are taking off their masks. As a matter of fact, even Prime Minister Blair, I don't have the article in front of me, but maybe it was you that sent me the article. Even Prime Minister Blair's affiliation with the global pedophile group has come out recently. So it's going to be interesting how it all works out.
Yeah, I sent you that article, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I actually know an ex-police officer from inspector level, the most senior rank in any county. He's starting to want to speak now, and he's going to be on one of the Orion or one of the UK critical mass radio shows just to really expose what he knows. And it's not doing it for, we're not doing it for self-gain. We're doing it for justice, really.
Yes. Right. Well, self-gain, justice is self-gain. I mean, you know, there is no such thing as justice. Everything has been corrupted. The courts have made it where they control what evidence is allowed onto the record and all kinds of crazy things. And so, you know, you do not have to, you know, make it, I don't like the word excuse, but obviously, you're doing what you're doing because you see what's actually going on, how obviously corrupt everything is. And if we don't do anything, who will? You know, that's the important thing.
And yeah, I woke up one morning, Dr. Carly, when after two years of sitting down, watching TV, doing nothing, going nowhere, I woke up and said to myself, interesting. So I pinched myself. Yes, that hurts. So basically I said to myself, I've got a conscience and I'm not using it very well. So then I decided to look into finding groups that were against the system.
Exactly. And of course, that's what more people need to do. So I commend you for that.
Yeah, it's easy when you've got a conscience. Obviously, less harder if you don't believe. If you don't believe in your conscience.
Well, if you don't have a conscience, you're not going to do anything, because chances you're probably already working for the corrupt system, you know, causing all these crimes against humanity. So, tell me a little bit more. You said it's a police officer who wants to talk about what's going on.
Yeah. He's from the London area.
And do you believe he's the real deal?
Well, we kind of found each other by accident, and then I asked him, you know, what's your role in everything? And he was saying he's witnessed murders, child abuse. He's witnessed everything you can possibly think of in that police force under a cover-up. And I said, are you willing to talk about it? And do you have any sort of evidence of articles in the media? And can you back any of that up? And he said, yeah, no problem.
Well, I wouldn't say that, you know, he needs to have articles in the media to back it up, because, of course, the media's job is to cover all this stuff up. But certainly I'm sure he has some things to back it up. And if he's real, and if he's really doing what he says he's going to do, then yes, he will be in danger as well. That's just the way it is, folks. You have to just accept it. And I think everybody pretty much knows that. That's why so many people are afraid to tell the truth, because they know that, you know, the governments go after, you know, people that come out and say certain things are being done, and it's not acceptable. I mean, look what's happening even with the protesters. We just had these dog and pony show Republican and Democratic conventions. The Democratic convention was in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is just about 45 minutes from me. They had 4,000 police officers there from different, you know, states, and they were basically corralling the protesters. They created a free speech zone, and, you know, you had to follow all their rules in order to supposedly have free speech, and they told you what you can wear. You couldn't have a bicycle helmet on. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, what's going on here? Since when should we have a free speech zone? Obviously, their lying through their teeth zones are pretty much everywhere. But then they make the rules.
Yeah, actually, we've got a name for them over here. It's a real name. They're called Protest Liaison Officers. But you have to, like we did with the road blockade, you have to agree to do A, B, C, D, not wear this in certain places. You can wear this in others. And yeah, it's very tough in terms and conditions. But if you get them around your finger a little, which we did, I suppose, because it was a smaller group, it does work to your advantage.
Well, let me just comment on that, because that was very revealing to me. Andrew and some other individuals for the London Olympics tried to cause a road blockade on this one particular road leading to the festivities, which, if had it been successful, would have brought tremendous attention to, you know, what we're all trying to do. And so what happened is they actually brought in these police liaison officers or protest liaison officers, whatever you called it, and they actually had some of their police cars, from what you had told me, okay, and they actually participated in the blockade. But, of course, the fact that the police actually became involved made it impossible for anybody to know why the traffic was being stopped. In other words, the police pretended that they were protecting your right to do the blockade, but because the police cars were there, nobody realized that there was a blockade because of your issues. It just became a bunch of police cars, and people were probably just sitting there saying, oh, there must be an accident up ahead or whatever. So no matter what, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I can back you up on that one, because we thought we had a little bit of a victory. When we asked them to come to the conference, because we have every single child protection source, we have health, you know, Skegness, we have nurses from health, we have social workers, we have foster carers, care support groups, charities. Have any police, because the police didn't want to come. They said it would be inappropriate for us to come, because I think they worried that what happened on the blockade, because the press did actually find areas that they were helpers, so that showed them in negative light that they don't want to come to the conference.
Yeah, you got to love that. It would be inappropriate. Give me a break. Yes, it would be inappropriate for them to come to any place where they could be asked hard questions, because that's the last thing they want, is to be asked hard questions on the record. And of course, we know, you know, this is the reason, especially when all these political psychopaths get together. And, you know, anybody that asks a question at any town hall meeting or something of that nature, the question has to be written down. You know, it has to be vetted beforehand. It is not possible for anyone to stand up, especially if such an event is being televised, for anybody to ask a question off the cuff that they don't already know is coming. Because a question like questions that we would ask, they would be standing there, you know, petrified and immobile, and we can't allow that to be shown on the tube. And so all of these different, you know, televised things where they talk and give their speeches and stuff, it's all garbage. It's just used to hoodwink the slave work units that want to believe that these people are representing them, because to face reality, they would have no choice but to get off the couch and do something.
Yeah, there's other ways we can trip them up for not coming. There's a bit of a punishment. Some of them have talked about the idea to knock on the police station door and say, look, I want to report a crime of child stealing. Now, under the Magna Carta, which I know very little about, they have to investigate it, whether they cannot, even if it's been to court already and satisfied the court, if that's a satisfied parent, the police have to investigate. So there's little things we can do still, you know, to get them to do the job properly.
Or to at least embarrass them, to have them come up to some excuse once they realize who the defendant is. Oh, it's a social worker or whatever. You know, then they'll come up with an excuse why, well, we don't have to investigate this. Just so you know, the same thing could be done in terms of vaccine damage, because if you went to the police and say, so-and-so, you know, pretend it's like, you know, a bad parent or something. So-and-so just injected my child with mercury, aluminum, viruses, you know, whatever. So-and-so just went to the bathroom and took a syringe full of toilet water and injected it into my child. That person would be immediately arrested and charged with attempted murder. How come it's okay for the doctors to do it, you see? So there's all kinds of, you know, strategies that can be used. I agree.
Now, in my personal case, which, you know, I can talk about another time, I'm now suing the medical authorities. I've gotten a statement from Dr. Buttram and Michael Innes on our story that Christine England has really worked hard to uncover the truth, really, for me. I sent all the evidence, and now the statement that we get will be able to fund us all now to go further and prosecute them for vaccine, as well as illegal kidnapping of our children. I'm very lucky that in Scotland, when my children were stolen, they work under the international law, like they do in Ireland, and it's much easier to make a case than in England, because England has closed courts.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit, Andrew, so let me get this straight. In Scotland, parents can actually sue Big Pharma for vaccine damage. I'm shocked if that's true, because here in the States, vaccine manufacturers are immune. As a matter of fact, the public pays for the vaccine courts, which have paid out over $2 billion since the late 80s, even though it's almost impossible to get a case heard before them. But you're saying in Scotland, you can actually sue the vaccine manufacturers directly and the doctors?
You can certainly sue the people who injected the who injected the needles. So you can sue the health authority that gave the vaccines. And then after that, it's up to sue the manufacturers of the vaccine.
Right, and I think this is so important what you're bringing up, because the doctors, through their licenses, which are totally controlling everything they do, are actually told, if you don't do, you know, by the medical mafia. You know, here in the States, it's the AMA, but it's mostly government agencies, Department of Homeland Security, etc. They tell the doctors, if you do not do what you are told to do, you will lose your license. If the doctors replied and said, I'm sorry, I have done my research, these vaccinations are bioweapons, I will not inject bioweapons into my patients. If enough doctors did this, it would stop immediately, because the doctors are being used to actually do the dirty deed. But unfortunately, most of them don't have the backbone to stand up. As a matter of fact, I've had many Twilight Zone, I call them, experiences in my life. One of them occurred when I lived in Long Island. Like most people, I used to go for my yearly checkup, you know, do the history, physical, get the blood test, all the rest of the garbage. And my doctor, when I was in Long Island, his name was Surrenda Shah. I will never forget him. I went to, the last time I went to him, was right when I had found out that the government made the AIDS virus. I brought him copies of congressional documents where they discussed this immune ravaging virus that they could create for $10 million. I brought in all kinds of evidence to show this man that our government had made the AIDS virus. And his response to me was, what do I care? I have a Mercedes in my driveway. Now, that was one of those moments I realized I'm dealing with a psychopath. I'm going to a psychopath for my quote-unquote physical and history. Of course, I never went back to him again because that's the kind of person who would willingly do whatever he's told. As a matter of fact, I always tell people, it's not just the vaccines. If any doctor puts a needle in your flesh, you don't know what's in the needle. There can be a microchip in the needle. The IV fluids now have been totally contaminated. It's not just the vaccines. It's all bad. So you have to be very careful when dealing with these psychopaths because the fact that they're still doing what they're doing is proof that they've sold their soul.
Yeah, I think our situation will be a test case. I had to bend the lawyer's arm a few times. He's now bending the state funding department, which is saying, well, you get some proof that that's possible, that your child has been vaccine damaged by an expert, even if it's not a UK expert. Obviously, to get the funding's a major hurdle. After that, they'll obviously want an independent UK expert, and we know what they're going to be like. But it has been known that US experts and Australia experts have been able to succeed in the British courts, at least when it comes to child stealing. But this will be the first vaccination claim, I think. And when we don't get them with the normal way of law, we'll get them with the Magna Carta law. So we'll just keep going and going until they're fed up of seeing forms every day.
Right. Well, one of the very important documents that I uncovered, which will help your case, and see, all I'll say is that, of course, any attorney who does the right thing in your case will risk losing his bar license as well, because, you know, that's how they control the lawyers. And I hope that you get somebody who does the right thing, although I wouldn't hold my breath. But one of the most important documents in the 15 years I've been doing my work that I uncovered is actually Title 42 of the U.S. Code, 300AA-25. So just put that into your search engines, people. Title 42, U.S. Code, 300AA-25. That will bring up the actual law in regards to reporting adverse events to vaccines. And in that law, they talk about vaccine-related injuries, disabilities, and conditions where deaths occur. Now, amazingly, when I contacted the CDC to ask them, give me a list of these disabilities, injuries, and conditions where deaths occur, they refused to reply. So how can doctors report bad adverse reactions to vaccines if they're not given this secret list? Which I actually know is all autoimmune diseases, non-traumatic seizures, cancer, and genetic damage. But, you know, they refuse to release that list. So that would be a beautiful moment in discovery for your attorneys to contact the CDC and ask for that list of vaccine-related disabilities, injuries, and conditions where deaths occur. I just think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to keep trying, haven't we? I mean, I'm getting old now. I can't protest and block roads forever and can't jump off buildings forever, you know. there's a few of us thinking about more stuff like that. But I think doing it for the legal channels and broadcasting things is the easy way of getting more people involved.
Right. Well, doing it through every channel that we can. Because, you see, if the lawyers sell you out, which lawyers oftentimes do, then that's basically back on them. That's proof that the lawyers are too afraid to do the right thing as well. If the case is ignored, you know, once you have self-evident proof, which you obviously do, that your children were vaccine damaged and nothing can be done, you see, it just builds on itself and builds on itself. And once people realize you can't trust the politicians, you can't trust the Department of Health, you can't trust agencies like the CDC, which is actually a military organization devoted to population reduction, you can't trust your doctors, who's left? The parents. Parents are the only ones left, and if you are not ready to stand up to protect your children from what they are doing to them at all levels, then please don't have children. The machine does not need more meat, okay? They are causing such destruction, I mean, at all levels, even the violence in the children. We're constantly hearing about the bullies, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? That's from vaccine damage as well. There's a very important book, Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality by Dr. Harris Coulter that everybody should get. And that book shows how, depending on what part of the vaccine, depending on what part of the brain is damaged by vaccines, a certain part of the temporal lobes, you get autism. Another part of the hypothalamus, just another part of the brain, you get rage and violence, okay? Another part, you get anorexia or obesity. The list is endless. Everything you can imagine is being caused by the vaccines. And that's what people have to research. I always tell people, don't believe me. Check it out for yourself. Because there's no way that I could have even conceived of the level of evil that we're dealing with. It took me 15 years. I have so much documentation. It fills a storage depot. And that's why I'm having so much trouble getting my book done, because it's going to become an encyclopedia. The intentional, hurtful things being done to the people on all levels, but especially by the medical doctors who are committing murder every day.
Shocking.
Shocking but true. And I'm glad you said that, Andrew, because guess what? People with a conscience cannot even conceive of such evil. You know, even in the churches, we have these churches holding vaccine clinics. What's up with that? They're having their sheep come in and they're, you know, promoting vaccines, and many of the vaccines today, the viruses are grown on aborted fetuses. So they're actually promoting cannibalism within the church by having vaccine clinics in the church. And see, these are some things that people, they can't wrap their heads around this. You know, it's easier to be ignorant. You know, doing nothing is much easier. Excuse me, easier than standing up and doing something. So people choose to do nothing. But of course, by doing nothing, they're creating even worse of a hell on earth. If nothing happens to stop these psychopaths, can you even imagine the world that's going to be for our children, Andrew? I can't even imagine what it's going to be like.
Well, some ways they're better off not born, are they, in the future? Because they're not going to have a happy life.
Exactly. First of all, you know, the majority of whatever they earn, if they can get a job, will be paid to the government in taxes so that the government can develop more bioweapon labs to kill them, so that more wars can be played out, you know, to, you know, basically use the soldiers as cannon fodder and experimental guinea pigs and further the population reduction. And the takeover of the Muslims who do not do usury. So, you know, that's the real reason behind what's going on in the Mideast. But, yes, I can't even imagine. And there's many times I wish that I had never been born. You know, who needs this? You know, but since I was, and since I somehow was born with a conscience, I have dedicated my life to exposing what's going on. Now, it's up to the people to decide what they're going to do about it. But if they do nothing, they are consenting by their silence. And they are, in my opinion, aiding and abetting and they are just as guilty as the ones doing it. Because just, you know, putting your head in the sand does not undo the fact that you know that it's happening. Because how can people not know what we're dealing with at this point? It's so obvious. Everything is corrupt.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I hear it on the TV and you hear it on the radio quite often now in independent media, but there's only one conclusion to what's happening. You know, they first want to take your money. That's been happening for the last 20 years. Now they're starting to take your mind, whether it be by chemtrails or vaccine damages or whatever. I mean, in the future, so they've took your children, now they're taking your mind, and you know, in the future, you're just going to all be like robots.
Right.
There's going to be no pleasure in being alive and being human anymore if we don't stop this now in 2012 and 2013.
Right. Homeless robots, because, see, that's another thing. You know, when you realize what a fraud the whole banking system and the Federal Reserve and the IMF and all the rest of it is, you know, you realize that they create these problems in the stock market. They create the housing bubble so they can pop it, so that they can steal all these homes, and then the people end up on the street and they have to start all over again. And then the whole process just, you know, continues. It's so obvious what's going on. And, you know, this recent LIBOR scandal that we had, I forget what LIBOR stands for, but this was even in the mainstream media, these criminals. You know, basically all of the world banksters are involved in this, but that they've basically been fraudulently broadcasting different market scenarios and things of that nature. The Federal Reserve knew about it for 4 years, did nothing, affected every part of our financial system. Not a single person has gone to jail. Nothing has happened. So basically they just tell us, yeah, this is what these people are doing. We're going to let them keep doing it. Once in a while, we'll let it out into the media so that you believe the media is reporting the news. But nothing ever happens. Nothing ever changes. Nobody has any serious, you know, criminal consequences to their actions. So why should they stop? You know, and the same thing just continues. And one of the ways that they are disabling people with fear and hopelessness is because every aspect of our world has been destroyed or corrupted. So where do you start? And that's a hard thing for people to talk about. You have to start by identifying the psychopaths. And actually, they're pretty easy to recognize based on what they do. Because, you know, once you see their agendas, it's pretty much self-evident. Okay, I'm getting asked a question. All right, do you need a break, Andrew? Should we go to a break?
Yeah, just really to sort of confer, you know, what, I've lost a little bit of track, that's all. Plus, I need to go somewhere quickly.
Okay, all right, so we'll have a little music break, and then we'll be back. And please do contact the station, either by the chat room or by calling in if you have any questions, folks. We'd like to know what you think needs to be done, what you've experienced yourself, or, you know, any comments that you have on the show so far. Thank you very much. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to What's Ailing the World. This is Dr. Carly with my guest Andrew Peacher from the UK. Our answer today is the Earth Needs Rebels. And Andrew Peacher's website is parentsinjustice.co.uk. We're discussing the Skegness conference that they're having in the UK this week. And Andrew, you know, perhaps we have some listeners that weren't on at the top of the show. Could you please give out the information again about that conference? You've put in the website that people can access to actually access the conference live, which the board op, I'm sure, has put into the chat room. But please just give a review again of this very important conference that you and others are putting together. I will be involved as well in regards to the vaccine damage. But one of the amazing things that you've accomplished, which I don't know anyone else that's ever done this, is to have many of the perpetrators, the Child Protective Services people, carers, as they're called in the UK, which is a ridiculous word, the foster parents, social services, all the people who are actually stealing the children and harming the children to come. But if you want to give a little bit more information about that, please do.
Yeah, sure. I'll repeat this website afterwards, but you can listen to it live on this station, and it's going live on all radio and TV independent media on the internet. But the main login site you can go to is thisisvancouveronline.ca. On the homepage, you'll find a link to Skegness Child Stealing by the State Conference. So it's on Skegness, in Skegness, this Wednesday, Thursday, the 12th and 13th. That's Lincolnshire, England. We start at 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. UK time, which is 4 a.m. Eastern and 2 a.m. Pacific. Of course, you go to that website and you can listen to it anytime. It'll be YouTube throughout the week, and any sort of relevant websites to do with social services and foster care, etc. We've got many great speakers, including the UK Columns Brian Gerrish, that starts to wake up people about many subjects. We have Roger Hayes. He talks about the alternative banking system, which is very relevant to child stealing, because a lot of the time, you know, we're sure they're stealing the children because of financial interest and not because they're being abused by the parents.
It's a business, definitely. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's... Yeah, so we also have care leavers who have been abused as children in care, as we put it, in the UK. It's nothing but hell for some of them. We have parent support groups that work closely with MPs. The MP, John Hemmings, is coming. The parent support groups are called PAIN, P-A-I-N, Parents Against Injustice Network. We have Justice for Families. Then, we've got Dr. Carly on the afternoon in the UK of the second day, which is 9 a.m. Eastern and 7 a.m. Pacific. And if you're in Central Time, then I'll give up.
One hour earlier, Central. Go ahead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we have Christina England doing that. Loads of parents. I think I've said most people. It's basically a variety of, you know, officials such as councillors, social workers. We've got the mayor opening it. We've got the mainstream media at local level attending. We don't have the national level. We have grandmas attending, you know, young people attending. We have everybody that's got a conscience. And my praise does go out to the officials, you know, for coming. Really, they didn't have to, and because they're coming, it says something is going wrong with their system, and hopefully they're there to help us and not to defend their job.
Well, one hard question. If I was you, I would have somebody manning the exit door, and one hard question I would be asking them if they leave is, why are you leaving? Because, you know, a lot of times, especially with the mayor, you know, he'll show up, he'll make opening remarks, you know, so that he can get some kudos, just any attention he can get, you know, at the time. But he should be staying to listen. He should be staying to learn what's going on. If these people just stand up and, you know, just, you know, basically, you know, document that they've walked in the place, if they leave, then they're ignoring the information. So, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, we're very clever that on free computers, we're streaming live to thisisvancouveronline.ca on the homepage there. We have three people, one being a film crew, which is not going out on major television, but they are a film crew from Belgium. They're doing the audio of it. We've got an independent parent filming every speaker, but we've also got our spies on the go as well. We've got a camera that's just deliberately going to be near the door all the time. And they won't know the camera's there, but every time someone says they're going, thanks for coming, we're going to interview them on camera.
All right. Excellent. Yeah, what did you think about what you've heard? And by the way, why are you leaving? Yeah, that's perfect. I love that. Okay.
It's just a way of protecting the truth, you know, being told if their truth is I've ticked the box and I have to leave within 5 minutes, then that's truth and it has to be heard throughout the UK and the world. If they stay for a whole day and they've defended us, again, that'll be out as well. Good and bad will be out.
Yeah. Let them give a reason for why they're diagnosing parents with vaccine-damaged children as having this fake psychiatric condition and then stealing the children. Because it's really amazing, Andrew. I went to medical school in the early 80s. I saved every book, every note, every transcript that I ever had from that experience. And I've had two major moves, and I dragged all this stuff with me. And now I realize the reason that I dragged it all, because that's where I go to find the lies, to find the lies that I was taught interspersed with the truth. And one of the things that they drove home very clearly to us when we did pediatrics and we took child psychology and all that was that abandonment of the child, when the child feels it's been abandoned, that is one of the most life-altering, terrible things you can do to a child. So for them to take children in the first place, of course, here in the States, they pretend that their goal is to unite the family back with the child. But a bigger lie has never been told, because they have no intention of uniting the child back with the parent. As a matter of fact, they will do everything they can to terminate parental rights, because then the child can be sold into adoption. And this is what's going on. So these poor children, my son, when he was 3 years old, after being severely sexually assaulted by his biological father, I went to a court hearing. I was told it was because of what the father had done. Turns out it was all about me, because I took a photograph documenting the damage. They took away my son. The cops went to pick him up. 3 years old. Just imagine. He's like, what's going on? Never saw his mother again alone, because I had a few, supervised visitation. I had a few supervised visitations with him after that. He would beg me to help him, beg me. And that was called discussing the case. And finally, they stopped my visitation, and my son's 16 now. I've had no contact with him for over a decade. So I can't even imagine the shell that he must be, because he's living with the person that did this to him. And I know my son is about one of millions across the world. This is what they do. So they're creating severely damaged, traumatized, psychologically, I don't even know what the word is. Talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. This is post-traumatic stress disorder on steroids. And then we wonder, along with the vaccine damage and the psychiatric drugs, and the list is endless, why we have such a dysfunctional bunch of young people today. Go ahead.
I mean, also, it probably creates dysfunctional parents and adults, because when a child dies in an accident or through cancer or through whatever disease, it is shocking and it rips you apart for years. But when a child is kidnapped or stolen by the state or alienated, parental alienation against one parent, that is the most shocking thing a parent could ever go through, knowing that your child's out there and getting abused, or just even knowing your child's out there, but you don't know what's happened to them. It's, there's no words in my mind can find a word to say how horrible that is. My daughter, in our case, we've not seen for 6 years, but she only left when she was six. Her son left when he was seven. We've seen our son. We know, although he's very damaged, and he's got medical issues through vaccine damages, we know deep in our hearts a little bit that he's relatively safe. I'm not saying safe, relatively safe, because he was abused in care last year, and the Child Protection Services, Social Services, did take him away quickly. They did their bit on that occasion, but our daughter, she's blonde, he was blonde when they went to care. Who knows what's happening to them? And at this stage, I'd like to bring on a bit more about the Shock and Holly Gregg case.
Yeah.
It's never
First, let me just comment, because I want to totally back you up by what you said in terms of what the parents have gone through. I agree with you. If my son was dead, and he may be, I don't even know if he is dead, because I've had no contact for 10 years. But if your child dies, you know, you go through the grieving process and then you try to come back. Just like you said, if you know your child's in a severely dangerous situation, then there's nothing you can do. I have gone as high as the United States Supreme Court. That's how I realize the courts are totally corrupt. That is something I have to live with every day. From the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, what's happening to Joey? You know, these are things that constantly come in my mind. I'm not allowed to contact him. If I do, I will be arrested. And this is my life. And, you know, I've had people say, well, you sound bitter, Dr. Carly. Bitter? Bitter? For having something like this done to myself and my son because I speak the truth? And people would call me bitter? You know, that's like mind-boggling to me. And my response is, wait until it happens to you. And let's see if you become, quote-unquote, bitter. But go ahead. Talk about the Holly Gregg case, because that's probably one of the most outrageous and obvious cases in the whole world.
Yeah, I was going to build up to it by just mentioning a little bit about my story, but it is kind of
no,
relevant.
No, please do. No,
yeah,
do.
It's kind of relevant because my son was abused in the care system. Quote unquote care system, yeah.
Right.
I'm going to call it the hell system because it is. It is the hell system because I've spoken to many abuse victims, survivors, and many victims of social services, and it really has been hell for them. And you don't just come out of the system getting your counselling, getting your compensation if you're lucky, and just leading a normal life. Anyway, my two children, Aaron and Kirsty, we lost them in 2006, and the only legal thing on the documents when we signed over, well, we didn't have to sign, but we lost the case, so we lost parental rights because they wanted to treat us very badly. Normally, you lose your children, and they go into foster care, and if they're young enough, they'll go into adoption. Ours weren't young enough, so they're in long-term fostering care. But what they did to us, because we were so severely traumatized, we didn't realize we was losing all parental rights, which normally they don't do to people unless you've really abused them. But legally, on our documents, there was about four statements, issues. Number one, we moved about the country too much, unsettling the children. Number two, we overfed the children. There was a bit overweight. Number three, when the wife wasn't herself 100%, she showed a bit of distress to the children. And number four, that, you know, Mr. Peacher, he speaks too much against authoritative figures. So that's the only legal definition of what's happened. There was a couple of incidents, and we're not very happy with that, where my wife did kick her daughter in the leg and made a bruise when she was really stressed. And it was by accident. The police investigated it, but that wasn't a part of the legal language they were using. They weren't bothered about my wife kicking our daughter once and bruised her leg. They were more bothered about the overweight and the big mouth of Andrew Peacher and the fact that we'd moved around the country seeking medical diagnoses for our children. We know why they would put that, because I made it very clear that there's something very wrong with these children and you haven't diagnosed them. I spent 5 years nearly since 2006 finding diagnoses for them, even though they're in the system. And the daughter, it turned out that she did have spina bifida occulta, two vertebrae, L1 and L2, was either missing or they weren't very formed properly. There was a problem down there because she had a hairs on the lower back. And I believe that forms a conclusion that might be vaccine related. She also had severe emotional issues. Again, it could be vaccine related. She's since got over the emotional problems, but she has what I call a club feet. The one foot goes inwards, the other one goes inwards. So both feet are pointing in the middle. One foot is longer than the other, and the leg indeed. And again, I believe that's all related. It might be hereditary, but you never know. Our son has been diagnosed with moderate learning difficulties because they can't or don't put a proper diagnosis to him. But the only one they did put to him, which is very relevant, is called Marie Charcot Tooth, or Charcot-Marie Tooth, CMT. And that's very relevant to vaccine damages. And so they've got the diagnoses now, and but it's too late. Although they think it's too late, you know, we're suing them, like I said, for vaccine damages, for taking our children illegally, and we'll see what happens from there.
Okay, let me comment on what you said, Nita, because this is so important. You moved around to try to find somebody to help your children. That is the definition of good parents, okay? But they make that into a problem, that you would keep looking. You know, one doctor after another says, oh, you know, no, this has nothing to do with vaccines. It's all your genetics. If you or your wife does not have anyone in your family with Charcot-Marie tooth disease, another, you know, invented syndrome, or spina bifida occulta, then it's not genetic. Because in order for it to be genetic, it has to be in someone else in the family. Okay?
I'll tell you medically ahead. Then. My mum had, when she was 17, she died last year, 65, 66, her hands started unable to move. Now, that could be a sign of Charcot-Marie tooth, but also she was actually physically diagnosed with arthritis in her hands.
Right. Well, that is arthritis. I mean, you don't get Charcot-Marie tooth disease at age 70. Okay? So she obviously had rheumatoid arthritis, and I suspect she was probably getting the flu vaccine, and that's what caused that. But go ahead.
Now on my dad's side, he did have bad back systems, syndrome problems, but it was mainly caused by slipped disc, because he used to work as a fireman lifting people, and it used to put strain on his back. So, no, there's no actual hereditary link with our children. My wife's side, well, no, because my wife's side, all the family, my wife's side, mum and dad, they never had any major disabilities from birth, but they were created through other problems like drug addiction.
Right. And this is what I find all the time. I do consults for people all over the world to help them reverse their diseases with natural therapies. And almost never do I actually find a truly genetic disease. One example I could give, there's a condition of the kidneys called polycystic kidney disease, where gigantic cysts actually take over the whole kidney. This is truly genetic. This is found in families. That's an example of a truly genetic disease. But almost every case, especially with autism, you know, they're trying to make parents believe that this is a genetic problem. That is a big scam. It has nothing to do with genetics, although the genes can be damaged by the vaccines. Vaccines can cause genetic defects, but this is all a big scam. And I just put the link, and I hope you'll check this out, Andrew, to that document I talked about with the U.S. Code 42 in regards to vaccine-related illnesses, disabilities, and conditions where deaths occur. This, if your attorney's actually, you know, a good guy, he should be very excited to get a hold of this. And I asked our board op to put this in the chat room as well. People need to start asking the CDC in huge numbers what I've been asking them for at least 10 years. Please give us a list of the vaccine-related illnesses, disabilities, injuries, and conditions where deaths occur. Because unless doctors know what those are, how can they report vaccine adverse reactions? And in fact, you were talking about your children being a little overweight. I already discussed the fact that the vaccines can damage the part of the brain that controls whether or not you become anorexic or obese. We did studies in medical school on this. Put electrodes into cats' brains, and you could actually produce a cat that was anorexic and, you know, very, you know, snarling and just vicious, or you could produce a gigantic monster obese cat that just kind of laid around and did nothing. Based on where the electrodes were in the brain, and, you know, when I realized what I now know, I realized, well, those are the parts of the brain that are damaged by vaccines that could cause these conditions. When you overstand vaccine-induced diseases, as I have done, and realize this is the biggest epidemic the world has ever known, all of the diseases in internal medicine are actually vaccine-induced diseases. Not that it's just vaccines, pesticides, and other, you know, heavy metals and other toxins are involved as well. I recently even got a scientific study somebody sent me from Italy where they proved that vaccines cause baldness because you can develop antibodies against the hair follicles and you will go bald. Your hair will fall out. So it's so massive and enormous. And that's why my work is such a threat to Big Pharma, because when people realize that all of these diseases for which they're getting toxic drugs are actually caused by vaccines, and then, of course, the toxic drugs do nothing. They cure nothing, but they will give you side effects and put you farther on down the road. You know, imagine if people just left Big Pharma en masse. You know, that's probably the biggest sector of our finances here in the United States is medicine. So this is such a important information for people to face, and also to realize that there are natural solutions that can reverse these things. It's not covered by insurance, so you have to pay for it out of pocket, and that's how they try to discourage people. But if you don't have your health, you have nothing. And so I suggest people, you know, check these things out. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I wasn't going to mention this today, but it seems you're on the vaccine subject. Just for one more comment, then I'll move on to the Ollie Gregg story. There's absolute evidence from what I know and what you have been telling people for many years that autism is definitely not linked. Definitely not linked to hereditary, or, you know, through the mums and dads, grannies and grandparents cycle. Because I know one person, and that's you, Dr. Carley, have been trying to prove that it's vaccine-related for years. But to back up your proof, there is actually a man claims that aspartame and methanol is the real reason for autism. So that clearly, you know, if many people are fighting over what's the real cause, it's certainly not hereditary. So it must be something that someone, which is the government, ingesting, whatever you want to call it, into people. So either way, whoever's right or wrong on the argument of aspartame versus vaccines, the fact is the government's trying to kill us.
Right. Okay, well, first of all, the major disinformers in the world of autism are those that say it's from mercury. The measles virus causes autism. Its true name is subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. There's documents from Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine on both of my websites where they actually talk about that condition. When you read it, you realize you're talking about autism, and then it admits that it's caused by the measles vaccine. Of course, the measles vaccine, the MMR vaccine, have never had mercury. So all of these disinformers are trying to, you know, take people and get them to look over there so they will think and believe that if they take the mercury out, the vaccines will be safe. Of course, our associate Christina England in the UK has been coming up with all kinds of amazing documents that, in fact, they've known about SSPE, which they changed the name to autism, for over 3 decades. And they've hidden that fact from the people in their secret documents, which actually stayed on them, not for publication. And so, you know, in working together with her, she has validated everything I've been saying for 15 years. And she wrote an outstanding article on vactruth.com entitled, "At Last, Government Documents Locked Up for 30 Years, Proving This Vaccine Unsafe, Finally Revealed." I will now paste that into the Skype box so that our board op can put that in the chat room as well. As far as aspartame, find me a child that's had aspartame but has never been vaccinated. It can't be done, okay? And as a matter of fact, most of the children that come down with this condition are about 15 months old. They're not taking in huge amounts of aspartame. So that's another distraction. Yes, aspartame is bad. It does not cause autism. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, sorry to bring that one up. I just thought it was a good point to prove that it's certainly not running from your family.
Right, it's not genetic. Okay, we have a question from Antoinette in Delaware. What about brain aneurysms? I was told that 2 or more have it in a family. It is hereditary. This is a very important question because let me explain the concept of miasm. That's a homeopathic term. It's not that you have a gene that's going to give you an aneurysm. What you have is a weak link in your body. Weak links are hereditary. If you have a family that most of them, you know, succumb to heart disease or something like that, yes, in fact, they're probably eating the same garbage and taking the same dangerous drugs and things of that nature. But obviously, they have a weak link in their body. That's the weak link. If they're exposed to enough vaccines and toxins and things of that nature, the cardiac system is where their disease is going to manifest. So that's what I try to teach people about. If you keep their poisons out of you, eat good organic food, drink clean water, you know, avoid stress as much as possible and other things of that nature, you will not have a problem. So, no, there is no gene for aneurysms, be they in the brain or elsewhere. But this is what the white coats use as their excuse to blame you for whatever the problem is. Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, so moving on a little bit to the Holly Gregg story, but to link in with that, as a parent, because my children's been in care and one of them has been abused, they won't actually tell us whether it's sexual or physical. That's got to be your worst nightmare as parents with your children in the child protective services.
Yes, and places. Wait a minute. This is very important, Andrew. First of all, I'd like to know how did they even? I'm shocked they even admitted to you. And how come the fact that the quote unquote system that took your children away from you to protect them, allegedly, how come they don't lose custody as soon as this happens? Because obviously your children were not being sexually or physically abused under your care. So how come they don't lose custody when that happens? But if you could start with telling us, how did you even find out? I'm shocked that they even let you know about this.
Yeah, I guess I've been asleep a little too long in organising conferences and protests, because you've actually woken me up thinking that's a very good point. And legally, I've still got time to challenge that if I wanted in court, which I probably will do now. So I found out by my social worker, my wife was never told, just in case. I mean, she knows now, but my wife was never told at that point, because it was up to me to tell her. But they phoned me up one day, literally, you know, as you do, you get dumped by email, you get dumped by text. Oh, sorry to let you know, Andrew, Aaron's just been abused. We can't tell you the real reason, but he's okay, safe and well. We don't believe it's sexual, but have a nice time and we'll see you next time we see you. And that was it, you know. Just,
and what greater trauma could you do to a parent that lost their child in the first place, has no idea where they are, has no idea how they're doing, and then they give you a message like that? You see, in my mind, that's like they're stabbing you with weapons of information that could destroy you. I mean, what if you got a gun and went and shot everybody in social services? In my mind, that would be totally understandable. But you see, they do things like this because they're trying to get parents to react. Because go ahead.
Yeah, I've just nicknamed it psychological murder or warfare, because
exactly
for several days it was psychological warfare. I didn't know whether to believe them, to run to the lawyers. But this is what the problem is. You don't know how to react anymore because the strong bit of you when it comes to children has been taken away. If somebody said to me, there's a child up the road run away from parents because there's been an argument, let's go and look for them, I'll be out that door before I get my shoes on. But when it comes to your own child, because they've severely traumatized you, I didn't know how to respond for a few days.
Right. And that's what they want. They want to traumatize you further, because whatever you do, if you commit suicide, if you go postal and go on, you know, snap and go on a shooting rampage, if you have like a mental breakdown, and they end up putting you on all kinds of psychiatric drugs, no matter what your response, they will use that against you. And they will say, see, Andrew just can't handle what's happening with his children. I totally agree with you. This is psychological warfare. And I do encourage you to inquire, okay, the system is now abusing my child. Why do they have custody? I want custody back. They're obviously not protecting my child. And I think would be a very interesting thing to do.
Yeah, when we go back to court, because at the moment we're applying for funding for the vaccine damages, we're also getting funding because they've not let us talk to our boy on one occasion, more than one occasion. So that's contempt of court. We're going back to court for more contact. So we're fighting them at the moment on all levels. But I didn't think, which is very sad of me, really, that my boy being abused was relevant. Now, it actually is probably more relevant than the other things I'm fighting them for.
Exactly. And let me ask you a question. Why do you have to get funding for the vaccine damages? Most attorneys that take cases like this do so on contingency, where, you know, basically they pay for the discovery and all the rest of it, and then when the case is won, they get a chunk of the action. Usually it's like a third or a half, which is ridiculous, but, you know, that's how things are done in the States. Why do you even need to get funding to bring the vaccine damage case forward? I don't understand.
No, I think for two reasons. Number one, the state is punching the state. So the state lawyer, I'm getting state funding and it's suing the state for vaccine damages. That's part of my mentality, I'm afraid. But when that doesn't work or something goes wrong or they're not, you know, they're pulling the rug underneath my feet, I will then go to what we call and you refer to as a no-win, no-fee lawyer. So if we don't win, we don't pay. If we do, we have to pay them a ridiculous amount of money. Mm-hmm. But it's not about the money. I don't even want the money.
Of course not. It's about the children, and it's about stopping them. You know, too many parents, and I'm not even judging them, because I know when this happened to my son for months, I was paralyzed. I couldn't stop weeping. I didn't know what to do. I was actually representing myself, and I continued to go through 7 courts in 7 years. I couldn't really do anything else because being in court took up all my time. But it is the most devastating trauma that any person can go through. As you said, and I agree, it's worse than if your child is dead. because this is a never-ending trauma. So this is how it works. And of course, the very idea that the state is going to give you an attorney that's going to sue the state to admit that the state is committing psychopathic acts is insane. You know, here in the States, whenever anybody's accused of a crime, they're always told you have the right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, one will be, you know, given to you. The legal defense attorneys work for the government. They always sell their clients out. As a matter of fact, when I was in Long Island, one of the things I would do on a regular basis is go into different hearings as a court watcher. I spent a lot of time in criminal court, and I heard many times the legal defense attorney tell their client, who was usually African-American, that the white jury's going to find you guilty, so you might as well make a plea deal. And, of course, this is how they prevent even having to go through the bother of a court proceeding, because the person admits they're guilty, even if they're not guilty, and this is how they fill up the prisons. So the whole system is corrupt to its very, you know, underlining. It's all a scam. And that's what you will see. I'm not discouraging you from proceeding forward, but what I always tell people that are involved in the courts, pray for the best, expect the worst. That's how you protect your psyche from legal abuse, because the legal abuse, of course, there is no pill for injustice.
Yeah, we do have what they call legal abuse syndrome over here as well. The actual lawyers that are representing me on state funding is a very good firm of solicitors that I actually, me and my wife, we chose in ourselves. Although they are paid, no, they're an independent private firm, but the funding called legal aid does come from the government, which they take because apparently there's more money made by solicitors in child stealing than there is in medical, teachers, carers. They make the most amount of money, the lawyers, because right. They drag out the cases. Anyway, I wanted to move on a little bit.
And let me just say one closing comment. Time will tell. Time will tell. You may have an attorney with a conscience. You may have an attorney that's got a vaccine-damaged child themselves, okay? So time will tell. But they will show themselves to you if they file a document in an untimely fashion and the case gets dismissed because of that or whatever. That's when you will know that they have betrayed you. But go ahead. I know you wanted to talk about the Holly Gray case.
Yeah, I was going to say, when the children are in care, the worst thing on your mind is, are they being abused? Are they happy? And I know a couple of people, care leavers. One is my wife. One is a good friend who campaigns for survivors who have been abused in care, in institutional care. And they've been, I mean, one particular person, I won't name him because he's not on the show, but he's been raped by a serving government minister in the UK Parliament. He can't prove it, but he's got images in his mind that have lasted 40-odd years. Now, somebody also in the news is Holly Gregg. Hopefully she'll never be out the news, and this is how this one goes. Holly Gregg is a little Down syndrome girl. Not so little now, because she's 32, but... And seven other known victims were systematically raped and tortured by a known paedophile ring. The paedophile ring, which included a judge, care workers, policemen, accountant and other leading men and women of Scotland, in particular Aberdeen and the Scottish establishment in Edinburgh. Also what happened was, this was a few years ago now, the uncle of Holly Gregg was brutally murdered with what appears to be an axe handle. Very strange though, because he was found dead in a burning car. In a situation that appears to be arson. This was a few weeks after he reportedly walked into a police station and said Holly Gregg, his granddaughter, has been sexually assaulted by her father. Now, the person trying to help them to expose the truth was a man called Robert Green. Now, unfortunately, on the 17th of February 2012... he was jailed in Aberdeen prison because he handed around too many leaflets and he said too much in public. So he was jailed in February. He actually came out of jail in May the 17th. And June, July, August the 17th, he probably came off his electronic tag. The Scottish Lord Advocate, which is the most senior legal person in the Scottish government, called Elish Angelini, has illegally used her influence to shut down any investigation and publicity of this Holy Grail case. The Scottish firm of solicitors, called Levy and McCree, has illegally sought to intimidate and influence witnesses and the investigator Robert Green for reporting this matter. Alex Salmond, the serving First Minister of Scotland, has been made aware of Angelini's methods and has failed to act in a very constructive way and to allow justice to be taken in this case. I mean, the list of corruption goes on. The members of Scottish Parliament has been made aware of the Chief Justice Angelini's way she's been acting. I mean, to date, the story is that I think Holly Gregg is a ward of court. She's 32 years of age. She's effectively in the care system now as a vulnerable adult.
Wait a minute. I had not heard this. I know her mother had custody, and I predicted that they would try to take custody away from the mother, claiming that the mother was damaging the child by continuing to try to get justice for her daughter. So are you saying that now, in fact, the mother has lost custody and Holly's now back in the system?
No, not quite. There's a twist to this one. Anne Gregg does not have custody of her daughter. And the last I've heard, which was about 4 weeks ago, because the actual case, even when Robert Green phoned me the other day regarding the conference, he's being monitored. But from what I realise is Anne has lost custody, but Holly is still with Anne on the basis, I think, of they're getting people coming in every day to the home to make sure things are okay.
And that's an intimidation tactic, obviously, trying to get the mother to shut up, basically knowing that if she doesn't shut up, they will take Holly and put her into the system, and who knows what will be done to her there. You know, I'm sure the listeners know about MK Ultra and programs like that. I mean, it could always be worse. And I just want to make an analogy. You know, the Catholic Church pedophile ring is being exposed big time thanks to Kevin Annette, who's been a guest on this show many times. If you don't know about his work, check out itccs.org, International Tribunal for Crimes of Church and State. He actually has a document written by the Pope which says that it is a crime to expose pedophilia by priests. But now these monsters have brought it to the next level, because not only are they making it impossible to expose the crimes of the pedophiles, but then they actually threaten you that if you don't shut up, your child will be given to the pedophiles. I mean, that's like saying, you know, if you talk about what the priest did to your child, then we're going to take the child and put it into Catholic school where the priest will be allowed to rape the child. You know, this brings this evil to another whole level.
Yeah, I think I've found some updates now. What's happening in this case? I think the reason Holly's still with Mum is because there's ongoing Court of Appeal appeals and more appeals in the European Courts of Human Rights. But what I found out a minute ago, when I find it, on the 7th of September, it's basically on the 7th of September, which was only yesterday, wasn't it? No, 2 days ago.
Yes.
It says on the website of Holly Gregg HollyDemandsJustice.org. HollyDemandsJustice.org. Holly spelt HOLLIE. It says, it seems that Grampian police are still concerned that by releasing relatively simple and basic information about an event what happened in 1997, they will expose the lies and cover-up of Roy Gregg, granddad's death. Now, this is a freedom of information request that they have to abide by, And Grampian Police says, I refer to email of 9th of August 2012, so it took them exactly a month to reply, in which you requested information in the Freedom of Information Act 2002. I've repeated your question and answered them. RE Death of Robert Gregg, 17th of November 1997, under a subject access request, a report states 2211 casualty en route for hospital. Robert Gregg's body was taken to hospital and CPR was given en route. What it does not say is which hospital was his body taken to, and what time was it determined Robert Gregg was dead. It does not give arrival time at hospital, time of death, was there a doctor at the scene, and was anyone at the scene qualified to determine death. Procurator Fiscal therefore says the information falls within the class of an investigation, and this exception applies. This exception is subject to the public interest test, which is articulated below. I mean, it goes into a lot of legal documents, but I think what this person's highlighted is Grampian Police haven't said why Robert Gregg died. There's been some major things about time of the death been left out, and under Scottish law, the Procurator Fiscal, which is the county senior court official, is saying that basically you can now go to the court and demand all these answers, but you're supposed to get them answers in the Freedom of Information request, and it should be done by law. I mean, what body has been buried without time of death, and what hospital they went to, and what's the cause of death?
Well, not only that, the entire case is called an obstruction of justice. And the people that are obstructing justice are aiding and abetting the crimes against Holly. That in itself is a crime. But yes, in cases like this, the documentation of the ongoing, you know, crime against this child, now a young woman, just continues to become a mountain of evidence. And that's why it's very important for people of conscience to give a hoot about Holly, because your child could be next. Your child could be next. And I'm here to tell you, and I'm sure Andrew would agree, that when it happens to your child, the trauma that this causes makes it very difficult to even keep standing. Many people cannot even survive this. So much better to stop it before it happens to you than to watch it and say, this is too ugly, I don't want to know about this.
No, I actually think you're a little bit wrong there, Dr. Carly, but it's your opinion. It's not your child could be next. I mean, as I keep telling my conference leader, we're doing this together, Steph, change that, Steph, to your child will be next, not could be, because they're after every child.
Okay, I stand corrected. I totally agree, yes. Exactly. As a matter of fact, you hear, here in the States, we have different Masonic organizations, especially the Shriners. At different fairs and places like that especially, they'll have their tents where they tell parents, you can get your child identification, basically documented. They take the picture of the child, they put the child's address, fingerprints, DNA swabs, etc. They collect all this information, making the parents believe that this will be available to you should your child be kidnapped, and this will help you, you know, recover the dead body or identify the dead body, whatever the case may be. In reality, what they do is put that information into a catalog, and they give that to the pedophiles, and that's how they pick their next victim.
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody wants any more information about the conference, anyway, going on a different note, I think we're running out of time shortly. You can go to parentsinjustice.co.uk. You can go to Facebook, type in Skegness Child Stealing Conference, and you can visit that website on Wednesday, Thursday, 12th and 13th September, and that's vancouveronline.ca on the homepage.
Yes, and I'm very excited that I will be a part of this conference. I will be speaking by Skype on Thursday. I think we have it set up for 9 o'clock my time, which is...
Actually, there's one technical problem. 9 o'clock your time is fine. We've got one of them leads that you plug into your computer and then put it on the TV screens and monitors. Now, we didn't realize you needed a commercial version, so we need 10 meters of it. So what we're going to have to...
Can't it just be done with audio, and then, you know, I have a photograph that I can send out. Most of the Skype calls I do that are video, they just have the photograph, and then the audio is streamed live. But we can talk about that after the show.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, though, on all my radio shows I've ever been on, and you've been on as well, they've always said, it would be nice sometimes to see the person who's talking, even if it's only brief. That's more TV, you know. It's not radio, but I can understand where they're coming from.
Right. All right. Well, like I said, we can talk about that after the show. And I definitely encourage the listeners to let others know about this conference as soon as I get the audio file for this show. I will have it archived on the lightofdayradioshow.com under These Changing Times Archives. And I encourage all of you to get involved, because actually this conference is one that's going to cover so many different issues. The vaccine damage, the child abduction, the global pedophiles, and all of these things, which in my opinion are the most evil things that the psychopaths are doing. Once you face these realities, then it makes it easier for you to realize all the other stuff they're doing. You know, spraying the skies with chemtrails, the list is endless. Because if we don't stop these psychopaths, as I say all the time, the hell on earth that they are creating, it's bad enough now. But for our children, I can't even imagine the hell that they are going to live in. Who's going to want to live in such a hell? It has to be stopped. It's pure evil. You know, this is a spiritual war, good versus evil. And I'm finding lots of good people, and Andrew is obviously one of those. And I definitely want you to keep me posted on, you know, the goings-on with your individual case, and especially let me know your attorney's reaction when you send him this document about the U.S. Code talking about vaccine-related illnesses and disabilities. That should be very interesting.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I just want to remind listeners, because we're pretty much out of time, that the views expressed on this broadcast do not reflect the views of the station, but rather are the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. So thank you very much, people, for listening. Looks like we're pretty much out of time. Do listen also to my show on republicbroadcasting.org today from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, where I will be discussing the Vaccine Awareness Week shows that Deanna Spingola did this past week on RBN, where there was a lot of good information that came out and a lot of misinformation. We have to identify and expose the minions that are trying to get us to look over there, instead of look what's actually going on. Because these people are working for evil. Whether they're doing it out of fear or to get cash, I don't care. The result is the same. Okay, thank you, Andrew, for a fantastic show. And definitely contact me before the conference so we can work out how I'm going to appear, okay?
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye, listeners. We'll be back next week.